Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Trust over 40 years of experience providing innovative pension solutions. Zurich Corporate Pensions. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more.
Now, as we've been discussing, the long delays and chaotic scenes at Dublin Airport over the weekend have led to a meeting earlier today between Ministers Eamon Ryan and Hildegard Nocton and the DAA. The DAA have now been instructed to come up with a plan of action by tomorrow. Graeme McQueen, Media Relations Manager with the DAA, joins us now on the line. You're welcome to the programme, Graeme, this evening. Can you tell us, how did that meeting go?
Yeah, thanks for having us on, Sarah. I think there was a very frank discussion. I think there were a lot of questions about what went wrong at the weekend and what we're going to do to make sure it doesn't happen again. I think, you know, we've been out there already. We apologised to everyone who was affected by what happened yesterday, and it wasn't good enough. As an airport, we want to bounce back very quickly. We want to make sure that we don't let our passengers down in the same way again in the coming days and weeks.
So, as I said, you're expected to present a plan by tomorrow morning to the ministers. It's now 5 p.m. Presumably that plan is close enough to being finished and ready to go for the ministers tomorrow morning. Can you tell us what the plan is?
Well, I think we'll work on that plan overnight. I think there's lots required on that by the whole team, and we'll look to address the minister's concerns. We'll look to present that to her in the morning. I think what we were saying to the minister today, and what we'll try and reflect in the answer that we give tomorrow, is how we're going to cope with the fact that we don't have resources where they need to be based on where passenger growth is going. We're working very hard to rectify that with our resourcing to try and get new security staff on board. That process obviously takes quite a long time because of the training that's required for these jobs. So we're looking to see what we can put in place for this weekend to make sure that the June bank holiday weekend, where we'll be seeing up to 100,000 passengers each day this weekend, we're looking to assure the minister that we can cope with those numbers.
You say it takes quite a long time to train people. I believe it's about 6 weeks, is it, to train people in the security?
Yeah, the training process would typically take between 5 and 6 weeks.
Okay. Just to add to that. Kieran O'Donnell, the chair of the Transport Committee, speaking this morning, said you've had 8 months to recruit staff.
Well, we started the recruitment process, you know, well before Christmas last year. It's not that we weren't recruiting, we just weren't recruiting at the levels required to meet the demands of what we're currently seeing. We've got resourcing in terms of our security staff around 70% of where they would have been in 2019. According to all the forecasts we looked at the time, that was going to be enough. But what we're seeing at the moment is passenger numbers nudging towards 95% of where they were in 2019. Mm. So like all major airports all around Europe, we're grappling at the moment to try and get to grips with this growth, try and get security staff in as quick as we can.
So the forecasts were wrong. Is that what's happened here?
Yeah, and I think we've been on record saying that before, and I think lots of analysts have said the same thing, that the bounce back in passenger numbers right across Europe has been much quicker than we're expecting.
But again, Kieran O'Donnell said this morning that was sort of clear, or very clear, really, 3 months ago, back in March and in the run-up to Easter, that people were starting to travel in great numbers.
Yeah, and I think we've reacted to that. I think if you look at the last couple of months, I think we've had over 5,000 applications for the jobs that we've got going. We've interviewed over 500 candidates for those roles. The pipeline is full of these candidates. We've got lots of people who've accepted the jobs. We've already hired 200 who've either started or will start in the coming weeks. They have a start date. So progress is being made. But as I say, it's the training, it's the accreditation, it's making sure they've got the Garda clearance, the clearance from the countries that they may have lived in the past, which is another onerous ask at the moment. So it's just a lengthy process. It takes time. It's not the flick of a switch, unfortunately.
Yeah, Eddie Wilson from Ryanair and Gerry Brennan from SIP2 both speaking earlier on today said it was quite simply a mistake to let people go in the first place. A redundancy programme let go 1,000 people under a voluntary redundancy programme run by the DAA. Was that short-sighted? Was that mismanagement, as Eddie Wilson said?
Well, I think it's easy to say that now, but I think decisions like that were made at a time when there were complete unknowns about what was going to happen. We had 2 years, basically, where our entire sector, our entire business was wiped out. We didn't know when aviation was going to be allowed to happen again. I think it came back much quicker than anyone expected, and we're having to deal with that now, and that's presented the problems that we have.
Well, again, Eddie Wilson said that not every country did that. Italy didn't, Spain didn't, Portugal didn't, Ryanair didn't, as a company it didn't do that. They just managed to keep the staff on in anticipation that travel would come back.
No, I accept that. And I think every business, whether it's an airport or another type of business, had the decision to make at a certain point in time. The fact was, we were losing over €1 million a day because we didn't have any passengers. And we had to make a decision. The decision we made is what it is. And
the wrong decision, would you accept?
Sorry, Sarah?
The wrong decision?
Look, I don't think there's any point getting into that now. We are fully focused on making sure that we have the staff in place, the operation in place to meet the demand of what's coming down the line. As I say, we're almost back to 2019 figures.
Well, that's
a record year for us.
Let's talk about what's coming then. In terms of how many, actually, just before we look forward to this weekend, let's just look at last weekend again briefly, because the number we were told of people that missed their flights was well over 1,000. Now, Eddie Wilson, again, speaking to Claire Byrne earlier, said that Ryanair passengers missed 1,500 flights. So do you have a number now at this point? Does DAA have a number as to how many people missed their flights?
Well, we're still speaking to the airlines. We do know the figure is over 1,000. It's significant. We are going through a process at the moment to establish who has missed a flight because of the queues over the weekend. And look, we've committed as a business that we will reimburse anyone who is out of pocket as a result of the queues. That's not just flights. That's hotels, food that they may have bought while they're here as well. So we'll make sure we'll look to make sure that everyone is reimbursed.
So you don't have a number at this point as to how many people have missed their flights?
Not at this point, because there's a bit of investigation has to go into some of these to make sure that, you know, we're reimbursing people who were legitimately missed flights.
So talk to me now about the compensation. What if people had to rebook a flight at cost? Will they be compensated for that as well as the cost of their original flight?
Yeah, all reasonable expenses like that. So out-of-pocket expenses such as rebooked flights, extra accommodation, transport costs, etc. We will refund that. And we've done that before when we've had instances like this back in March as well, where we refunded passengers. And look, we'd encourage anyone who was affected, contact our customer experience team and they will handle your claim.
What about the cost of accommodation in the place where they were meant to be going?
Well, look, when they contact our customer team, they will be sent out a form. They can detail everything that happened to them. They can give us their receipts. They can tell us what happened. And we'll work with them to establish what is a legitimate expense that we can pay for. And we'll look to help passengers as much as we possibly can.
So has a decision not been made on that yet, the cost of accommodation in your place of destination?
All these will be looked at on a case-by-case basis. So if anyone who does contact us, we'll look to get back to them as soon as we can.
Because it's hard to see how that's not a legitimate expense if you paid for accommodation that you can't reach because of mismanagement by Dublin Airport or because of what happened at Dublin Airport yesterday. You would think that that is a legitimate expense.
Well, look, we commit to looking at each of these cases, as I say, on a case-by-case basis. And where we're at fault, where we've cost people money, we will look to reimburse them.
And just a final question on this. What about tickets and things like that for concerts and rental car costs, things like that you may have booked that you may not have been able to avail of?
Again, get in touch with us. Put it all down to us. We'll have a look at it. And where we feel that we have caused you to be out of pocket, we will reimburse you.
Okay. This weekend, then, you said 100,000 people are expected. Now, it's 50,000 last weekend and we saw what happened. So double the number.
Just to be clear, Sarah, 100,000 was the total passengers. So that's people departing and arriving. So numbers will be slightly up this weekend based on last weekend, but around about the 50,000 mark, we'll have departing this weekend again.
It will be the same amount. Okay, so how are you going to make sure the same thing doesn't happen again?
Well, I think it's going back to what we've been doing over recent months. As I say, since we had a pretty major blip at the end of March, we had 2 months that were pretty solid. We put in place a mechanism to cope with the rising passenger numbers. We've deployed a staff task force in the terminals to support the security operation. So that will continue this weekend. We're looking at rosters and things at the moment to make sure that we've got the maximum number of people available to us, the maximum number of security lines open, and that will allow us to hopefully get through the weekend and not see anything like what we saw over Saturday and Sunday.
But that doesn't sound like anything's going to be that awfully different from last weekend.
Well, look, I think we've got to refine it. I think we've got to look to make changes where we can. The fact is we're operating...
Do you know, Graeme, do you know what you're going to do? It sounds like you don't. What you're going to do differently, do you know?
We are going to present the plan to the minister tomorrow, and ultimately that's got to be something that she's got to be happy with. So absolutely we are looking at this. No stone will be left unturned to make sure that we put everything into the
You met with the minister last Thursday, and she was given no indication at that meeting last Thursday that this was going to happen last weekend, you know, a couple of days later.
Well, I think, as I say, we've gone through a period where we've been doing really well. I mean, we got 98% of passengers through in April and the first 3 weeks in May. We got them through in under 45 minutes. So good work was being done. yes, we had a blip at the weekend. We've got to work out why exactly that happened and make sure it doesn't happen again.
You see, I suppose I'm thinking about it from the point of view of people at home now at the moment listening who may have a flight this weekend. And what I'm hearing from you is, you've just said there, you don't know exactly what happened. You don't know how many people actually missed their flights as a result of whatever it is that happened. And you don't really know how you're going to fix it. So what should I do if I have a flight on Saturday morning? Should I just cancel or will I get out?
No, I don't think that's the case at all. We know pretty closely how many people have missed flights for the weekend. Obviously, I'm not going to give you an exact number. It is over 1,000. In terms of this weekend, our advice remains the same. If you're taking a short-haul flight this weekend, we'd encourage you to be at the airport up to 2.5 hours before that flight. For a long-haul flight, it remains up to 3.5 hours before that flight. If people stick to that advice, things should move smoothly this weekend.
All right, Graeme McQueen, Media Relations Manager with the DAA. Thank you very much for joining us.
Well, Cathal Crowe, Fianna Fáil TD and Member of the Transport Committee has been listening to Graeme McQueen from the DAA and he joins me now. Cathal Crowe, you're very welcome to the programme. Based on what you've heard there, are you reassured that the DAA can come up with a plan to solve what Graeme McQueen called the blip of the weekend?
Hi, Cormac. I'm not sure it's a blip. A blip is a once-off, and I was a member of the Oireachtas committee that came in to meet Dublin Airport Management way back at the start of April. We were given every reassurance at the time that no stone would be left unturned, that everything would get sorted, and here we are again. It's deja vu or groundhog day, whatever you want to call it, but it's gotten worse, if anything, and I don't see any solution coming down the track. I will, of course, be watching tomorrow to see what is put forward to the Minister, but I myself have today been putting forward my own solutions.
And we'll get to that in just a second. But are you clear, based on what you've heard in that interview or previously today from the DAA, of what the problem is and has been?
Well, the problem is, and they've avoided mentioning it on the airwaves today, but the staff working this area aren't very well paid. Too many of them were left off during COVID. We all saw the skies reopening and airlines were way ahead of this and they were booking and they got all of their flight crews back and everything ready to roll. But the airports, certainly Dublin Airport at least, were far slower to get back into this. And I think it's coming back to haunt them. We were concerned when we met them back in late March, early April, we were concerned about the Easter holiday period. But there were still relatively low levels of transit through the airports at the time, comparative to pre-COVID years.
And at those meetings...
At those meetings,
Cathal, did you raise the issue of pay and terms and conditions with the DA? And if so, how did they respond?
We did, yeah. They reassured us that anyone... Sorry, the people... One of the cruxes here as well is a lot of those employees are originally from outside of the European Union. So the security clearance required to work in an airport is rather extensive. And it is a bit of a process to trace someone back to previous addresses they would have lived in. So that's also a process they have.
That's a different issue. But what about the pay and terms and conditions? How did they respond to that?
That has been an issue in terms of recruiting people and the delay and putting them at the front line. In terms of pay and conditions, we were reassured back in early April that anyone who left, who was laid off by Dublin Airport Authority at the onset of COVID would be taken back on the same pay and conditions. They wouldn't be going in bottom of the rung again. So I presume that has happened. That's certainly the reassurance we were given. But that needs to happen. But they need to go wider here in terms of recruiting. They didn't, to my knowledge, make too many significant gains over the past 8 weeks. And now we're heading into peak summer season.
But the problem here...
I'm not convinced that there's capacity to take it.
But the problem here, Cathal, based on what Graeme has just told Sarah, he said that there were 5,000 applications and hundreds of people interviewed for the jobs that they advertised for. The pipeline is full, he said. But here's the but, he said. But training and accreditation, he said, is what's causing the delay. Clearance for countries where they've lived in the past is quite onerous at the moment. All of that points to a problem not being resolved in time for the bank holiday weekend. And if it isn't, are we to see a repeat of the chaos we saw last weekend?
Well, unless they've magically recruited a couple of hundred people since yesterday, which they haven't, I can't see anything but the same scenario repeating itself again next weekend.
So what's the advice to passengers for the bank holiday?
Well, I've been speaking with quite a number of them today, and it's devastating to hear the Dublin Airport Authority not being able to say with absolute clear and without equivocation that they will refund everything. There's people who are going back for funerals to the UK and holidays, and we're still none the wiser. Are they going to get all those refunds? The reality is, I think there are solutions and they lie beyond Dublin. I have been through the security systems in both Dublin and Shannon airports in the past number of weeks. It takes around 10 to 12 minutes in Shannon from the time your bag goes off on the conveyor belt into the hold of the plane. About 10 or 12 minutes later, you're through all passport security checks and you're shopping and having your cup of coffee before you board the flight. There's similar capacity available in other airports. And I think that really is, if Dublin, you know, they are competing, of course, commercially against the likes of Shannon, Cork and Knock. But if they were able to cede a little bit of ground right now and say, do you know what, we're in an emergency situation, the other airports in the country, you know, Shannon's only an hour and 50 minutes
down. Isn't that a policy decision?
Sorry, I beg your pardon?
It's not a policy decision. I mean, Shannon doesn't have the multitude of destinations that Dublin would offer to the passenger. Should there be a policy shift in terms towards Shannon?
Absolutely. And other countries, Denmark and Finland, saw this coming way before COVID. Dublin has the most dominance of any European capital airport. It has 86% market share. The Dutch and the Finnish saw this. They devised a national aviation policy that ensures it caps the amount of planes that take off and land in the capital, and then other flights have to go into the region. We need to get to that model quickly. But to deal with the immediacy of the problem for this summer, there are two ways, I believe, that can be quickly and easily worked on. One is someone changing their flight booking. Now, that only works, of course, if the same route is offered from Shannon or Cork. Mm-hmm. Now, Ryanair in that instance, or Aer Lingus, and I don't wish to hone in on them, but for example, you do need that, the flight change fee. There's quite a hefty penalty if you go to change your booking. Perhaps if they wavered that would allow people the flexibility to change their travel plan. But the bigger one, and this is the one I've really been suggesting to government and the ministers, is that we actually look at rerouting planes. There is capacity in Shannon. There's a huge car park. People will park cheaper, board their flight quicker. And you know what? It's now quicker to come down the motorway in your car or on your public transport.
Okay, but it's a sad state of affairs, Cathal. It's a sad state of affairs that we're asking people to leave where they may be in close proximity to the airport to travel across the country to a different airport. Can I ask you finally...
But they're missing flights at the moment and they're missing on holidays.
No, I understand that. But can I ask you finally and briefly, do you and the rest of government have confidence in DAA to resolve this for the summer?
You can ask me that one tomorrow, Cormac, but what I will say is that...
Well, what's the answer today?
In the past 8 weeks, we were given all the reassurances under the sun, and we even heard they were going to go and seek help from the army, but then they didn't need that help. So what more is required? Every assistance they required during COVID was given to them in Dublin Airport. They're now coming up with yet another plan to resolve things. We need to see the hope in this plan. It's not so much what the minister or the politicians are here tomorrow. It's the person who is planning the family holiday or getting home to the uncle sooner in the UK. It's that person listening here this evening who wants reassurances. And so far, there haven't been too many of them. And in the past 8 weeks, there have been virtually none of them.
OK, Cathal Crowe, Fianna Fáil TD, thank you very much indeed for joining us.